Hello everyone, Dr. Julie here, and you are listening to my Coffee Chats podcast. I am a health researcher, PhD trained, and chef, self-trained, on a mission to leave the next generation and our planet a lot more of a healthier place. This is your space to ask questions on topics that no one seems to want to discuss, with information that is backed by research, along with a good dose of practical advice. Real talk, real people, real answers. This podcast is proudly sponsored for 2024 by Mimojo. Mimojo is a local New Zealand company that produces award-winning kefir, real kefir, not yogurt, which is going to help to keep your gut so nice and happy. Let's get into this week's episode.
Welcome back to Dr. Julie's Coffee Chats. Kaz here, and I want to start this episode by first thanking Julie for being so vulnerable with us all while she's been on her healing and grief journey. This episode does contain themes of both grief and trauma, so if this is triggering for you, you may prefer to skip this episode. If after listening you feel you need support in dealing with your own grief and trauma, there are services you can access to do this, or reach out to us and we can point you in the right direction. Take care, everyone.
Welcome back, beautiful peeps. Happy Wednesday. Welcome 5 a.m. club if you are listening. This week on the podcast, I am going to do a bit of a personal episode and share with you guys a bit of an update in my healing and grief journey. For any new listeners or listeners that haven't caught up, the last 4 years for me have been pretty grueling. Since I had my third baby, Ray, I've also had to undergo two major neurosurgeries and keep my business going, and we've had COVID the whole time. And in November last year, I marked a year post my second neurosurgery. And some of you might even find it helpful to have a listen to that episode if you haven't already. And I guess where I'm at now is that I'm in a place where I'm experiencing a lot of grief over what I went through. And I've already shared that I've undertaken quite a lot of intensive therapy, and it took me some time to even be in a place to embark on that. Now I'm kind of at this new layer or this new level of healing, and I just wanted to share this with some of you because I think it might help, particularly being a mother of three and a woman, allowing ourselves time to grieve is really hard. It's really, really, really hard. And I also, while I suspected that this might come, I guess I kind of hoped that it wouldn't, as we all do. And I've found some tools really helpful as I go through this. Now, my disclaimer is that this is not a replacement for any mental health therapy of any sort. And as someone who's been in therapy for the best part of 20 years, I would really encourage you to do that. And I know how hard it is. I know how hard it is to find a therapist, to put the time aside, to have the money to do it. But I'm still going to encourage you to do it. I have got so much from it, and I wouldn't be at this stage in my healing and grief journey without it, or without knowing that I've got that support. So to kind of explain what this is like for me, it's sort of like every time that I experience something what I would call more normal, I also experience grief, and those kind of two things sit side by side each other. They're not one or the other, And I have come to accept that this is just where I'm at right now. We often get told, well, you should just be happy, or you should just be grateful, and you're able to do some of the things that you always wanted to do. But that discredits our feelings, and it discredits actually what we went through. And for me, that's what I'm trying to process. And despite what it might seem on the outside or on social media, there has been some huge losses for me through this time. My business, I haven't been able to do a lot of the things that I would have wanted to do. And I've become acutely aware of that as I'm at this stage now and able to do more. And as I said, it may seem funny on the outside because you're like, but you still did so much. Well, I did, and I also had to. But again, that doesn't take away the losses. You know, the week of my surgery, for example, was the lowest sales, online sales, that my business has had in, well, probably 4 years, 5 years, if not more. And I could see that. There was a direct correlation with that. And that was really hard. It's just the way that it was, but that hurt. And even in some of the things that I wanted to do and product releases and things like blogs and social posts, for example, and events, all of that I've had to curtail a little bit over this time. And to me, there's a real loss with that. I didn't lose my business. I could have. So, of course, I'm grateful for that. But as I said, there is still a loss, and it's important that I acknowledge that and I feel that because it wasn't fair. It wasn't fair. It wasn't fair that I had to experience that loss after all of that work. And it's really okay for me to say. In terms of physically, yes, I'm at a place where I've rebuilt, but to have gone through not just the recovery post a third baby, but then the recovery post two neurosurgeries and all of that, it's been like three comeback journeys in some ways over 4 years, which is so much, so much. And with that has been the grief of not being able to do the things that I want to do. I'm committed to my first comp this year. I could have done that maybe 2 years after having Ray, not 4 years. And there's a loss of joy with that because it's one thing to be able to push your body in a way without managing a very significant injury and recovery, to just being able to push it. And I have to feel that. And I know when I do my first comp, I'm going to feel that. And again, am I incredibly grateful every time I get to move my body? Yes. Am I still managing the long-term ramifications of my surgery? Yes. I have to constantly watch my right shoulder, for example, because that's the side where effectively the surgery happened. And so it's always kind of like an Achilles heel, so to speak, that I'm aware of it and I'm more conscious of it. And I've had to learn to trust my body again. That's still a work in progress. I've shared recently about practicing handstands. Before my second surgery, so this is after my first surgery, it didn't quite go as well or as well as we would hope. And there's some reasons for that too, and there's been a whole grief with that as well. But there is no way that I could have been upside down through that time. I could barely lie down without getting waves and waves of vertigo. So again, there's a loss of that for me. And every time I go upside down and I get more confident with it, I feel that loss. I'm a highly sensitive person as well, which means all of this loss and all of this grief just sits right inside me really, really deep. And the other place that I've really noticed it has been with my kids. And this has probably been one of the hardest for me. you can hear that in my voice. And it's because a lot of things with kids are virtually impossible to do when you're recovering from surgery. And my boys love basketball. And so for pretty much the last 18 months, I haven't been able to really watch them play. And if, as you can imagine, a basketball court is one of the worst places for someone with the type of surgery that I've had twofold. Flying balls and children, couldn't risk any of that coming anywhere near me in any shape or form near my head. And because my hearing loss is what's classified as severe and complicated, so what that means is that I hear loud sounds extremely loud and low sounds I really struggle. I've learned so much about how our ears work, and our ears work, we've got two of them for a reason, because they balance sound. So that's why for me they call my hearing loss complicated. We have three bones of hearing, and the cholesteatoma literally ate and dissolved my first two bones of hearing, so that's even without the surgery, they're gone. And my second surgery was to try and do more reconstructive work to preserve that third bone of hearing, to reduce the vertigo and to help balance my hearing loss a little bit better, or as well as it could. And what we were asking of my ear was a lot. We put in like an artificial cartilage, which, as my surgeon explained, it's kind of like trying to put something like on concrete and expecting it to attach. So it's been a long recovery journey with that, and this is lifelong. I'll manage this forever. And now that I'm able to wear my hearing aid, it is a little bit better. But because of that, and to repeat, I'm a highly sensitive person, which means I already experience sensory input, including sound, at a much higher level than someone who's not a highly sensitive person. So it has felt extremely cruel that I have had this as my roll of the dice. So again, basketball court, sounds, balls, screaming, yelling, all the rest of it. Not only is it like had been virtually impossible for me to even sit into, if I did, the fatigue from that was like tenfold. And it's only been in the last, like this year basically, that I've been really able to go a lot more regularly. I did make it to a couple of my boys' final games, and I even spoke about it being something that I wanted to do regularly, which I'm able to now. I still have to watch my fatigue. I still have to watch the sounds and obviously the balls, but I'm able to. And I had a moment a couple of weeks back. The first was I took my boys to the Breakers game. And if any of you have been to a a Breakers game, it's like noise on like the most highest octave you possibly can. And so I purposely get seats, pay for more expensive seats that are kind of in the middle so I could balance the sound as best as possible, and there's less people. But I was able to go and enjoy that, and I was so rapt, but I felt that sadness of not being able to take my boys to that previously. But where I really felt it was actually on the Sunday, where I just took Arjun to his rep training on the Sunday, and it just seemed like such a perfectly normal thing to do. But previously I haven't even had the energy to be able to do that because I've had to use Sunday for extra rest, and I still do, but I definitely couldn't overload anything through that. And as I sat there and I just got to watch him, and Sahan had taken Ray out to the playground, so I wasn't juggling both of them on the court side. And I just sat and I just watched him, and I watched him train. And oh, did I feel it all. I did. I felt how much I had missed. And this is like the good part of parenting. You know, I had been doing all the grindy parts of parenting through this time and not really experiencing these like pure pockets of really good bits. I had been robbed of that and it had been taken from me. And I really felt that. I really felt that in that moment of having it back. And I can't get that time back. I never will. Doesn't take away how grateful I am to have it. And I just had to sit there and I just had to say to myself, and this is through some of the work that I've been doing, is I just allowed myself to feel both. And I actually had tears in my eyes, as I do now at the court, feeling both things, immense gratitude and immense grief. And I just spoke to myself and my inner child and allowed myself to sink in to all of that. Yeah, grief is so hard, isn't it? And I thought I'd share some of the things that I've found helpful while navigating this stage. And it's definitely been allowing myself to rest when I need to, when my body is telling me to. And again, that's not easy. That looks like putting the kids in front of TV and just saying to them, look, I'm just going to go upstairs and lie down for half an hour. I just need this time to actually rest. And I've spoken about my window seat quite a lot, and I still use that, and allowing myself those little mini micro pockets and micro periods of rest, especially on the weekend, because I don't tend to get them Monday through to Saturday, so especially on a Sunday. And speaking of Sunday, I've done a lot of what I call like home days on a Sunday, decompression days. So unless the boys do have training, like Arjun did, we're spending a lot of time at home, so not committing to, you know, like meeting with friends or doing anything like that, which means I can just sort of ebb and flow and not only control the sensory input, but when I need to process any grief, I've actually got that, and I don't need to explain myself. I don't need to cancel anything. You know, because we're at home, it's easier for me to take those pockets. And potentially I'll be doing that for quite some time as well. I've journaled so much, sometimes three times a day. I've nearly filled a whole journal, and that's, we're not even 2 months into the year, just getting it all out in whatever way that it comes. And I'll even put times, because if you're doing three entries a day, it's just there. But that physical process of writing in my journal, getting out all of the things on paper, well, it's almost like it's coming out of my heart and my soul and my head and just getting it down there and not overthinking how it's coming out. So that's been incredibly helpful to me. And yes, I am also working on my quote book, and I've even enjoyed the process of that because it's enabled me to sort of reflect and think about the things that I've found really helpful through this time, and funnel some of that grief and feelings. And the other thing that I've done this year is just really not overscheduled myself, including with events. So that's just not on Sunday, but also in terms of speaking events and even food shows. So that's one of the choices that I've made this year is to keep those to a minimum compared to other years. And I don't need to. We've done a lot of work and a lot of front-facing events. And again, that's just to open up opportunities for this processing. But also as I start to come out of that survival mode, actually going, do you know what, I don't need to be running on adrenaline. And I almost couldn't imagine a time that this would even be possible. But I'm here now, and I'm learning to accept a kind of what I would call more of a slower, easier pace of life, which I say that with some care because it's still a lot. It's still a lot in terms of the volume that I work and the amount that I do in terms of training and kids and everything. So I'm consciously aware of that, but remember, what's one person's normal is different for someone else's, and that's okay. This is my normal and my kind of adaptation to a higher workload. And I said at the start of the year that I wouldn't be apologizing for how much that I work, but I am adjusting to a more stable schedule than previous. years, and it's a work in progress for me. It is, because that pull to do more and be overloaded, there's a, I'm not going to say balance with that, but there's a, like, that's still an adaptation to kind of take away from hard feelings. And that's probably the only other thing that I really just want to leave you with. And I have so much to credit to Glennon Doyle and Abby's work with this, which is just sinking in to all of those feelings, not trying to numb them, not trying to escape from them, just allowing them and not making myself wrong for it. Gosh, I wish I had those tools when I was in my 20s, but I've got them now, and I'm using them now. So just to recap on the kind of key things that I've found helpful through this time: letting those feelings sink in, resting when my body is really saying that it needs rest, and feeling okay about that, constantly telling myself that what I've been through, my body needs extra rest and recovery, and probably will do indefinitely. Journaling, sometimes 3 times a day. I carry it with me everywhere so I can just get out of my head. Not overscheduling, and not overscheduling the year, and having some home and decompression time, and time where I'm not like needing to have to go somewhere, or even having to need that pressure to cancel because I can't. Yeah. So I hope that that's helpful, and I don't know when I'll do my next healing/grief update. To anyone that is on a healing grief journey, oh, I have so much love for you. I really, really do. And some of this you might find really helpful. And if anything, just to know that you're not alone in this, and that behind smiling, happy social media posts, there's also the other side. And yeah, I really hope that you might find a bit of solace in this. So that's it for this week, peeps. Lots of love to you. Lots of love to your inner children that are there and an equal part of you. And I'm going to see you same time, same place next week for more deep, raw convos. Take care. Bye.